Vale.
No. You know all things, and you know the situations that are so big. In the minds of others, which are not so big in other people's minds. But they're big to us. And God, also, I'm acutely aware of the attack that comes before every trip. And we're right in the middle of it. So, generally speaking, it's just usually before you're going to do something great. But we're very willing for you to begin the great stuff now. And that you would just be Lord over the next few days. Changes that come. And help us, God. For glory, your glory, in your son's name. Amen. Oh yeah, and God speak to us tonight. So we're on the topic of desire, and actually, I want to just hit a few different ideas, and then I'm going to try to make this brief. But the first one is that has anyone ever heard of, you know, anybody know what this term is? What does anybody know what that
tunnel vision?
It's very easy to get the disease, but it's infectious. And it's when I can become really self-absorbed and unaware of, like, things around me. There's a lot that goes on every day in the kingdom of God that I can choose to be alerted to or not. If I'm not careful, my desires can give can make me have a tunnel vision. And what I can end up doing is this type of tunnel vision, eventually even that closes in on me. And I end up getting self-absorbed. What does that mean?
Everything goes in.
It's all about you.
Yeah. It really is. But I will say that it's not. Often, very often, we will say, you know, we care about people, we care about things outside of ourselves, but we really are not. We are connected to ourselves. And that can be very dangerous for us. And so part of the bitterness that can come is because I'm so connected to myself that I cannot see beyond it, and my desires are very much related to that. And my bitterness comes because God is not allowed to actually go outside of my box. God must talk to me in my box. God must meet my needs in my box. He must minister to me in my box. And he better do something that's in my box. That's tunnel vision. I can tell a child it's Christmas morning and they can be in their bedroom and I can tell them that their gifts and different things that their heart's desire are downstairs and they don't want to leave the room. And I say, you got to. But and come on, there's stuff downstairs and they don't want to leave their room. They want everything's in front of them. What's in front of them is most important. That can be us. And then we want to live in that whole situation. It has ramifications, meaning it affects a lot of things around us. So when we talk about desires, I do want to maybe expound on more on that, but we don't realize how much it can poison us in our day-to-day, and it can come out days later, weeks later, to other people, but everything has been connected to how I have been thinking and what matters to me. And it's all about me. That's tunnel vision. That's self-absorption. And it is a bad disease. And unfortunately, I believe that Americans tend to have it in spades. So what one of the things is, I wanted to hit that because I do want to talk about it and think about it, because it's like talking to someone and you're both talking, but you're on different pages. You're two ships passing in the night, because the first person is only ever going to talk from an inside, and they are not connecting with you because you are talking from outside. And so even just basic things are missed. It really blinds me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says that the God of this world, that he can blind the eyes. He can blind our eyes. And I'm focused on it. I'm focused on what I think and what is going on with me. And it can destroy me. Now, God, remember we also quoted the other day, other week, Hosea 13:9, that you have destroyed yourself, but in me is your help. Part of what I think of the importance of waking up in the morning and looking at God is to say to God, I am prone to selfishness. I am prone to seeing things my way. I am prone to wanting things to happen the way I want to. There's no one in this room or hearing my voice who is not prone to that. It is our default. It's where we go naturally. It's protection. I'm prone to it. So it is a big deal to come outside of that. We see it with children right away. That's why it's easiest to work when you go with little young children. Their first words are always pronouns, possessive pronouns. Mine. And we say, no, everyone. We all use pronouns. And they're like, no, mine. And you say, hey, no, you should share. And they are completely uninterested in sharing. We had a story on one, I guess, one of our kids, where one of the teachers said, hey, listen, you need to share. And that child just went, into another. The thing is, that's us. It's us. We don't want to go outside. It's a natural place, but honestly, we can't survive there, guys. There's only so much in the world. If we all say me, my, mine, people wonder why the world is where it is. Don't blame God. It's the me, my, mine. Everything's mine, me, mine. It's all about me. It's all about my thinking. It's hard for me to get outside my own box. I have to go with God. I have to ask God, because otherwise I can say that. Now, it's also dangerous because parents do that. They can say, well, no, I don't think it's just about me, but I think about my kids. That's selfish, too. It's just because you're kids. Oh, no, my kids, I mean, I've taught for many years. A lot of parent-teacher meetings, like, my kids, their crap don't smell. My kids are geniuses. My kids are, they would never do that. Your kids are kids. They're you. And you could do it. And I could do it. It's like, there are no angels here. This is not a school of angels. Oh my gosh, the angels descended. It's Grace Ward Christian Academy for angels. No, not at all. They are prone to do things and want things their way. Every day, every second. You and I are the same. We're just more sophisticated. We don't say my mind. That would be embarrassing. But we try to like make it work our way. Okay? And then if somebody calls us on it, we can get defensive. All I'm saying is that you and I are a lost cause without God every day. There's no fixing the me, my, mine. We don't get that fixed. There's no store I can go to, pick up a body spray and fix up my, you know, a lot of things. There's no body spray for that. It's God. It's every day. It's God. Or I will be self-absorbed. Here's the problem with self-absorption. It so consumes me that the world around me disappears and people get hurt. People suffer. But you can say, no, I'm not doing anything. You don't understand. God put people on the earth together. We are going to affect each other at all times. And I will choose to care for another, I will not choose to. And every day I make that decision, or I make a decision for me. It's one or the other. My desires, we cannot talk about desires outside of that, because my desires are automatically going to be about me, or it's going to include an open view to the world of what God would have me to do. And this is the problem. I'm going to give a secret here. My largest frustration is that I'm not actually connected to the desires that I was designed to have. So, I am like that person who commits daily a form of suicide. I daily take in, I daily meditate on, I daily eat ashes. I eat the wrong thing. And I am so missing the big picture. There is a happiness that is outside of me that I was designed for. People destroy themselves. I had a conversation today with someone, and I said, what do you want? And after a while, first of all, everyone's sophisticated. Initially, nobody tells anybody what they want, because God forbid I should tell exactly what I want, because it would seem selfish, because I am selfish. So a lot of times it comes different ways, but part of the ways it comes with, I don't know. Yeah, you do. You do. You just know what you want, what you want. You do. I do. But I don't know. I do know. Finally, maybe situations happen enough where finally I can't live with myself anymore. I'm going to go get what I want. Okay? I want this. So now I say, okay, great. Now we know. Now I start going through. So if you get this, then that means, what about this? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, how are you going to live? You're going to have what you say you want, but the very thing you want will destroy the very real desires you have. Does that make sense? I have this thing that I want. I say it because I'm living it, but it will destroy the very real desires that I was designed for that are also living inside of me. We talked about that last week. The spirit I have over here, and he's got desires that were made for me, and then I have this other thing I want. So we can separate the I want is another way of saying, the Bible says it this way, I lust. I lust. I lust for this. I lust for that. But there's this other higher thing I was made for. And they are real desires, and they're outside of me. But this tunnel vision can destroy me. This subjective, this self-absorption will destroy me and the people around me, and I will miss. But it's interesting, because someone could say, well, I'll just kind of go away. And there is this verse that says that through desire, a man having separated himself. So I'm going to separate myself. This is an interesting verse that I'd love to just read to you. Okay. Proverbs 18:1. Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddles with all wisdom. So basically what it's saying is, I destroy my own wisdom through desire. Another version, a man isolates himself, seeking his own desire, and he rages against all wise judgment. Then it goes on to say, a fool has no delight in understanding, but only in expressing his own heart. So it's like all about, I just need to, you know, express, I just want this. This guy has no delight in understanding, but only in revealing his personal opinions and all about himself. That kind of thing you want to separate from. You want to step away from. And that man, I separate myself and I get swallowed up in my own desires, and that I can't get a way out. And that's why what we talked about on Saturday is so important, new beginnings. Like, it's new beginnings are so important because I need them. I'm going to need them daily, sometimes hourly. I spoke with someone else today who told me that they spent, someone spent over $1,200 on them for anger management, and they said it didn't work. And I thought to myself, you know, this is interesting. So now you rage against all wise wisdom. All wise judgment, you were raging against it. I have to be separated from being that person. It's a very dangerous place because I will be so consumed with what I think I need and want, and this person was that they could destroy themselves and everybody around them. No man alive or woman was alive was ever meant to have all that she wants. And here's the scary part. I can become a Christian and I can Christianize it. It's like I put a blessing on my selfish desires. Bless my desire. That's the prayer I was talking about. The man or the woman who prays and they say, going into the prayer, bless my desire. And it bothers me because I don't get it, or I rage against it. But this is where all wisdom is. Better is a man that can control himself than he or she that can take a city. This bodily control is everything. It possesses me, and now I don't have the rage on the inside. The rage on the inside says, I lust, I want. But then when it gets it, it destroys the body. It's that thing. When this thing conceives, it breeds a sin, and the sin that brings forth death. It rages because it gets what it wants, but it never has its desire. People die every day having gotten what they wanted, but not what they desired. The man who dies with a needle in his arm got everything he wanted, but not what he desired. He never got that real high. He never got that real sense of being significant, of love. He never reached it. Because he got what he wanted. If we give children in this school what they want, they'll never reach their desires. Every day I battle their wants. And I have to win. As parents, you will have to battle your children's wants. They cannot win. If you let them win, you destroy them over time. They will have this idea that that's how it goes. And 10 years from now, you will look at the wreck of the life that they have. And the question will be, did I cause it? Every day you and I are selfish. Every day we want things. But we were not intended to have those things. Because those things can destroy us. Every day, I can eat poorly, and eventually it destroys me. Every day, these children can eat candy, and it destroys them. Every day, I can have drugs, and it will destroy me. But I was meant for higher living. why are we going to France? It's only one of these. I do not care about the Eiffel Tower. I do not care about one thing in France. I want to be very clear about this. I am uninterested in field trips. I don't take field trips. I'm interested in people going to a place and God being able to open their eyes up to speak to them, to show them a world that's outside of their self-absorption. And sometimes you have to get away from everything you know in order to find something else out there that was meant for you. Otherwise, you and I, we will kind of like hang around the same area, and even in our minds, because we never can be stretched. That's all France is about. I don't have any other agenda. My big prayer in France is that God would be able to get a hold of some. And I don't know who that is. I know that my trips I took when I was younger, they changed my life. I began to understand the bigger picture. If you want to live the rest of your life consumed with your own desires, you can do that. But I'll be honest with you, you shouldn't do that. I said to this person today, I said, 10 years from now, how are you going to function? What's your plan? None. What about the people around you? Do you see that they know how to do it well? Relatives or not? No. But have you ever been to a location and you looked at someone, or have you seen people that you know or that you admire their life or you appreciate? Yes. Well, how does that work? I can tell you one way it doesn't work. I didn't spend most of my life getting what I wanted. I think it's the TV. I think it's social media. It is telling everybody that that's exactly what they deserve. I mean, the ads used to be a lot more secretive. Now they are, have what you want. Get what you deserve. They even use the word deserve. Deserve? Are you kidding me? I deserve hell, but I wasn't given it. I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve the love of God, but He loves me anyway. So I don't want this to be very long, but I mean, honestly, I pray that everyone going on that trip, that I pray that God destroys every one of their wants, because that's not good enough. But I pray that He would meet their desires, because that's what He gave them. And we gave the story last week about the woman with the prophet. Remember that story and how she didn't even say, she wanted a child. But God gave it to her. The prophet gave it to her. And she had that child. And I used this story today and told the person, listen, there are things that God has buried in you that you desire. And then, if God takes that thing from you that He gave you, then you can go in prayer to Him and you say, God, You promised me. And He can give it to him. And He would. And this person, I asked him, I said, listen, did God tell you something? Yes. Then you have God's permission to hold Him to it. When you, you know, came somewhere or went somewhere, were you sure that it was God? Yes. Then you hold Him to it, to keeping you and to making it happen. Because that desire that that person had was very real, and God answered it. So those are the things that God wants me to concentrate on. Not on these immediate wants, this, I want that, I want this, I don't want to do that, I want to do that. I sleep. God is not spending his time in the morning with those things. We get some things we want, some things we don't. I go to the store, I want a particular type of drink. It may or may not be there. That's just part of life. God's not in heaven trying to make sure that the drink is at the store for me. He's bigger than that, right? He's bigger than that. But he is in tune. When I go to him, I was talking to someone yesterday, and they were bitter over something. And I'm like, listen, like, God is your comforter. I've only ever seen him alter something because he has something much better. Like, are you not letting him, the Holy Spirit, be your comforter? God is only in the bigger and better. If you were God, wouldn't you be in the bigger and better? Everything's bigger and better to God. Eventually, so much so that when we go to heaven, no one gets to heaven and says, you know, look at this place. Really? This is heaven? Earth was more beautiful than this place. No, Christ took time in John 14 and talked about a place that he prepared. In my Father's house are many, many shacks. That's not what he said in John 14. He said, in my Father's house are many, many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. He comforted them that, listen, you may not be sleeping. God doesn't say, you know, I have a lot of shacks. You're going to have to share, though. You know, and when you get there, it'll be, you know, I don't know about those shoes, because those dirt roads. No, he said, heaven even went into detail, said there's streets of gold in heaven. God is always in the bigger, better mode. He is not afraid to be extravagant. God never had to make a sunset with different colors. He didn't have to have a rainbow with different colors. He didn't have to do all of these things. And when you go and watch the sunrise, why is it so incredible? God didn't have to do it. He could have gone, boop. Okay, we're good to go, right? There we are, day. Okay, night. Boom. He didn't have to have stars in the sky. There's no rules that these beautiful stars in the sky, and we all love to go out to look. God could have just said, okay, it's dark. Get used to it. God is a show-off. And in my life, he's a show-off. I'm nowhere near where I was going to be even a year ago. He's a show-off. The problem is, what I said to this person last night is, we're very forgetful. We forget about that. And it's easier not to remember that. But I'm telling you, God's a show-off. And he's showcasing us. And I guarantee you that if you go along for the ride, that you will find that next year and the next year and the next year are bigger and better. The testimony that we had even a year ago with this church is not the same testimony I have today. It's better. Now I've got history. You know, a year ago was, hey, we want to start a school. Now as we're out of school, and we've actually seen difference. Actually, what we did works. Go figure. God's bigger and better. Honestly, there were times that, you know, some have come and helped out to school and some have left. And I've always wondered, but then some people somehow here, whether it's Sarah hearing about our school in Bedford, Virginia, God adds. Hey, I need a French teacher. God doesn't give me any peace. I'm like, I'm gonna teach French. I mean, we're going to teach it. I remember Pastor Joe goes, so what's your plan? I don't have a plan. I have a hole. How God fills it, that's not my problem. You know what I mean? I don't have a plan. I don't need to have a plan. Who said I have to have a plan? I'm not the planner. But these things outside the box allow God to do great things. But God is bigger into the bigger and better. But in my self-absorbed world, I'll never know what that is like. And my favorite line, well, all I want is. Well, honestly, I'm sorry. You're probably not going to get it. And when you get it, you're probably not, or if you get it, you're not going to like it. Because God is different. He's your Heavenly Father, no different. If your child says, I don't care about dinner, all I want is candy. You don't even have to cook it. I'll save you some trouble. Just give me some candy. Are you going to do that? No. So you want your Heavenly Father to say, oh, that's all you wanted was a low level of existence. Oh, you only wanted these things that will potentially destroy you out because you don't want them, you want them outside of me. You're not, oh, you want me to whatever. God is like, okay, you work at it, you get it. And even when it turns, there's a verse in the Bible that says, you're going to want like this and this and that. And when you like lean on a staff, it's going to basically have a point at the end and go through your hand. Because you're going to go after these things that you want. You're going to put your hands in the pocket and there's going to be holes in there. Every time you try to save, it's going to go right through there. Go ahead. You want to go toe-to-toe with me? Just like, you guys aren't worried about your children. Oh, you want to go toe-to-toe with me. And we talked about, we joked about, like, and I was one of those kids, too, ran away. And, like, really, where are you going? Who else is feeding you? I got this on you. Limit. As a parent, you don't worry about it so much anymore because, A, I got this on you. I feed you. I clothe you. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you going to do? Now, unfortunately, I found in New York that there are some people, some who have run away from their homes and whatever. That's fine. And their lives suck. They stink. Okay? But you run away. Where am I going? God says, it's going to be my way. You can fight me all you want to, but it's going to be my way. Because my way is perfect. And yours stinks. We just read the verses. Your wants stink. Because you're not in touch with the real person I made. So I'm only interested in the my desires in you. And you're going to think, well, I'm going to get it and I'm going to make it like that. God says, you go right ahead. I'm going to make this thing. Candy's going to be enough for me. It's going to give me sustenance. You know? And when they remove all your teeth and when all of that, well, remember, at some point, when you've got no teeth left, you're going to say, maybe I have a new plan. I desire meat. You know? That's the way it works. You can find, I mean, sometimes people kind of make me their enemy because I'm like in the way of their wants, supposedly. Go get it. I'm not worried. There's a big God. He's way, way, way more in the way than I am. He is blocking your path. He's like Balaam. He put a big donkey to block. He's on the thing and he keeps slamming into the road because he sees him slamming. What's your problem? And God even told him, God said, what are you doing hitting that donkey for? He's not your problem. You're your problem. You're all about your wants. I want this and I'm going to go do this. You're upset tonight. You remember who you're upset at. You make sure that you look up because there's only one person as powerful as that. Know your enemy. God. Seriously, sometimes he's your enemy. Because there's a great verse, blessed are the wounds of a friend. Because the sweet kisses of an enemy, they're deceitful. God doesn't kiss us. Sometimes he's got to wound us. When the parent says no and the kid screams bloody murder, oh no! Why? Why? And just for the record, I was one of those kids. Mom, please! Please. I do remember that. I have a whole lot of images. I have an image of me, you know, the doorway. Okay, you have a door and then you have the ground, right? And you have this much space in between the door. You know what I'm talking about? If we shut a door, you have the, like underneath the door, right? There's me. Mom, please! Please! Until finally she got fed up and then, you know, the rest of that story. I got what I didn't want then. But, you know, I'm like, Mom, please! You know, I'm like, you know, my wants consumed me. And she was not giving in. And if you know my mom, that was a lost battle. I just didn't know that at the time. It's like they consumed me. But I'm so grateful to my mom, and that's why I will always champion the cause, especially of single moms, because my mom fought to give me what I needed, not what I wanted. She gave me what I desired, not what I wanted. She wasn't brutal or whatever, you know, it wasn't anything like that. It's just that she paid attention to the bigger picture, not my self-absorption. I feel, it's like if I could get inside this table, or this table is my concern. This is my whole world, okay? And I am like, my world. Why? Hey, Natasha, no! I need that. Why? But what about the house? No, my world. Mine. into my world. And it's like, well, that's just stupid. There's a chair, there's a living room, there's a house. I'll sleep here. I'll eat here. You stupid girl. That's why it says it's a fool. I'll separate myself. That's us. Satan lets it be. Now tonight, the one thing you should do when you put your head on your pillow tonight is thank God that he's not like that. That he's a very good father. And when I want to strike out against the world, he'll wait me out. For some people, it will take years, but he will wait them out. He will not give me my wants. And if I try to steal my wants and take my wants, then I will find out that I'm up against God. And I'll close with this. Cain was very angry with God. He was very angry with God. Cain, the story of Cain and Abel is God has an idea. God, he was upset that God blessed Abel's sacrifice to him and not Cain's. And God comes to him in Genesis 4:6 and he says, why are you angry? And why are you so depressed and dejected? Don't you know if you do well that you'll be accepted? And if you do not do well, hear this part, sin is, it's crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. See, you're so stuck in that world. I'm so stuck in that world, in that box, not in my wants, not knowing that, and not in touch with my real desires, not knowing that sin is desiring me. It wants to eat me and destroy me. That's why there's no, it wants me to fall into its trap. But Cain says, but you must master it. Cain didn't listen. He went out to his brother and said, let's go in the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and killed him. Cain got what he wanted. And the Lord said to Cain, where are you? Where's your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? That's that whole, I don't know. Sure you do. The Lord said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And then God cursed him. And this is an interesting thing. In verse 13, he says, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Without relationship with God, without understanding that I have a Father, then I will sit in my box and I will say, I'll be bitter, I'll rage. I'll say, that's more than I can bear. What are you talking about? You have a Heavenly Father and He loves you. And the Holy Spirit wants to comfort you. But you know what? It's like how a child throws a tantrum. And I want that candy. And it's more than I can bear. I can't even take it. I can't take it. Are you serious? We know you can take it. We know that you'll live another day. And I will outweigh you. If I give in to you, then I help you destroy yourself. And I will not be a partaker of that. That's what God says. I won't partake of that. I'm not going to help you destroy yourself. Cain said that because of a lack of relationship. Who says my punishment is more than I can bear? What are you talking about? 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation that has been given you that is not, that you can't bear. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you will be able to bear it. God never ever gives me something I can't bear. What are you talking about? Who are you talking to? You're talking, Cain is wrapped up in his desires. And you and I can be Cain. So we have what we don't have to be. And I'm glad that God doesn't let me be. So may every man or woman of God go toe to toe with another man or woman of God who's erring and say to you that your desires are more important than your wants right now. And blessed are the wounds of a friend. A real friend is not afraid to wound another one. Keep your kisses. Oh, may God give, grant all our desires, but may He reject all of our wants. And if you entertain all day long your wants, then you do have an enemy. Mark it down. It's God Himself. He will come at you like an enemy. And the New Testament says you have to agree with Him quickly or He will come at you like an enemy. Not because He is your enemy, but think about it this way. When you tell a child no candy, all of a sudden to you, to them you are the enemy. I am for peace, the psalmist said, but when I speak, they are for war. I'm a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war. I become their enemy. Paul said himself, am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? God is my enemy, but He is my friend. Just like, how's that possible? God can be enemy and friend. How is it possible that a mother can hug a child and then spank a child? And I do believe in spanking.
Very easy.
Yep. Because of love. Right? Because of love. Proverbs talks about that. You spare the rod on that child that you don't love that child. Love. Love. Love is courageous. Love is fearless. And love takes a beating. Because inside, all the while, you think God wants to do that, but He knows that we would further destroy ourselves, just like a mom knows. And I've talked to some moms, and I said, well, why did you allow that? Well, He wanted it. I don't care. The child is, you're the adult. You're supposed to be bigger than His wants. That child doesn't know what life is about and how that decision could destroy him. I'm always amazed that my mom didn't give me certain decisions. There were a lot of decisions that were not mine. And I'm so grateful. I would have chosen so wrong. And parents don't get it all right, but God does. Here's one joy we had to know tonight is that my parents didn't get everything right, even when they tried. But guess what? God does. So if I don't get my wants, it's for a good reason. So, tonight, even for those going on this trip, I pray that this trip is nothing of what you want, but I pray it's everything you desire. I pray you tap into things you didn't even know. Maybe something you couldn't even put into words. I pray you find it. I found it. It makes it easy to live after that. Sometimes, oh, you're not like this. I'm like, I am so like that. It's just different. When you taste a higher air, it's different. It's like the difference between a person who knows how to swim when it comes to a pool and a person who doesn't. To one, the pool is a scary place. If they have anxiety if they get in the water, don't push me in too deep. And the other person doesn't care. You push them in deep water, they're going to swim. That's the air to breathe. To know that God Himself is working out my desires. Peaceful. That Latasha doesn't have to manipulate And that's where midlife crisis comes from. It's the idea that I was not able to manipulate my 20s and 30s as much as I thought I should have been able to. That's Latasha Brown's definition of a midlife crisis. It's a point of failure or disappointment. And because there's a crisis, it usually happens in 30s. Is it going to be too late? 40s, 50s. When I say midlife, I'm going from like 30s to 50s or whatever. It's basically the idea that I have not been able, the fear that I'm not going to be able to, or I have not been able to manipulate my condition as much as I wanted to. Of course you can't. Not everyone. There's all these external factors, and God, and also you have a God in heaven who's gotten away. Sometimes you can say, "Oh, I can't believe this happened. I didn't have these advantages. I didn't have whatever." Have you ever thought that maybe God did that on purpose? That my life choices are this and that, and I this whatever. Have you ever thought that God did that? Uninterested in your wants, very much interested in your desires. I've never seen anybody who followed Christ at the end of the life who said. I've never seen anybody who got to the end of life who said, "Man, that stunk." It just didn't happen. I talked to a man last night who was near death all of a few weeks ago. And I asked him, I said, "Listen, I'm curious. When you were that close and you knew," he said to me, literally, "I was on my way to heaven, and I am sure that it was only the prayers of certain people that brought me back." He was that close. And I said, "Do you have anything that God spoke to you during this time? Or out of this time?" And he said, "It was very simple. I began to understand that God's mercies are new every morning." All of a sudden, his desires just became so simple. And then he said this. He said, "Just about before I was going to have this operation," I said, "were wheeling me out, I sat and said, 'Oh my gosh, I hope,' you know," it's like thinking about his sins and all the things he did wrong. And he said, God whispered to him that this is not the time for that. You are my son. That's all that matters here. You're my son. And that grace will keep you." It's funny how our desires get simplified. I'm his daughter. The king's daughter is all glorious within. I'm his daughter. And I've desired my whole life to be somebody's daughter. I may really be someone's daughter, and I am. I'm going to be his bride. And my whole life, we've all had this yearning to be a bride. Now, God goes for the deeper things. He said, when that was spoken to him, he rested. And then he was ready to go under. And then he came out on the other side. Life seems easier for him now. So, that's it. May God grant us our desires. May God keep us from our wants. Humanity has found so many ways to destroy itself. And there's only one way to restore, to restoration, and that is God. All right, pray for us on our trip. And we'll pray, be thinking about you guys back here. I'll bring you back a pastry. I'll be eating it on the plate. Yes. I'll think of you as I'm stuffing it down my throat. But unfortunately for me, well, this is my Thanksgiving. This is when I probably put on my holiday weight. I just can't, you know. This is the kind of like what I want.
You know. I'm just taking stretchy clothes.
Oh, there you go. That's it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's like Thanksgiving, right? Who comes with tight pants at Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Only if you're on a strict diet, then you shouldn't come to Thanksgiving at all. So, to God be the glory. We do have those packets we're going to give for the kids. You had something? Okay. Pray for us all, but we'll see each other before then. Let's see what God does. And just pray, really pray for this trip the next couple of days. I'm going to ask you, because Satan is coming against it and coming against people. And he shouldn't win. Sometimes it's one foot in front of the other, and that's all you can do. Right? That's all I can do. All right, I did nothing I wanted to do today, but everything that I would have desired to do when I'm walking with God. So I need to go back, and I enjoyed listening to how all of you are so packed. But I need to go back and deal with some things. So God bless you guys.
Hallelujah.